yet have remained in my poverty to the end of time. But it was not so, you see. I was the second son of a nobleman, and had honourable attached to my name, and I practised the profession solely and entirely because I had become enamoured of it, and because I was disgusted at the useless existence of a fashionable and idle young man, and determined that I, at least, would not add another to their ranks. And so I had a handsome establishment in a fashionable portion of the city, and my door was besieged with carriages from one end of the week to the other. Many of the occupants were disappointed, however, for I would not demean myself by taking fees for some vaporish miss or dissipated dowager. Gout, in vain, came rolling to my door, even though it excruciated the leg of a duke. I undertook none but cases that enlisted my sympathy, and after in time the fact became known, and my levies were not so well attended. One day I was returning on horseback toward the city. I had been paying a visit to a patient, in whom I was deeply interested, and for whom I had ordered the quiet and purer air of a suburban residence. I had reached a spot in the neighbourhood of Kensington, where the vines were enclosed in large gardens, and the road was marked for a considerable distance by the brick and stone walls that enclosed several of the gardens belonging to those mansions. On the opposite side of the road stood a small country-looking inn, which I had patronized before, and I pulled up my horse and alighted, for the purpose of having some rest and refreshment after my ride. As I sat in a front room sipping my wine and water, my thoughts were fully occupied with a variety of personal concerns. I had received a letter from my mother that morning, and the condition of the patient I had recently left was precarious in the extreme. It was fortunate that I was thought occupied and not dependent upon outward objects to amuse them, for although the window at which I sat was open, it presented no view whatever, save the bare, blank, high brick wall belonging to a house at the opposite side of the road. That is to say, I presume, it enclosed some residence, for from where I sat, not even the top of a chimney was visible. Presently, however, the sound of wheels attracted my eyes from the pattern of the wallpaper at which I had been unconsciously gazing, and I looked out to see a handsome but very plain carriage drawn up at a small door that pierced the brick wall I have alluded to. And almost at the same moment, the door opened and closed again behind two figures in a most singular attire. They were both of the male sex, and one of them was evidently a gentleman, while the other waited on him as if he was the servant. But it was the dress of these persons that most strangely interested me. They were attired in white, from head to heel. Coats, vests, trousers, hats, shoes, not to speak of shirts at all were white as white could be. While I stared at this strange spectacle, the gentleman stepped into the vehicle, but although he did so, the coachman made no movement toward driving onward, nor did the attendant leave his post at the carriage door. At the expiration, however, of about a quarter of an hour, the servant closed the door and re-entered through the little gate, closing it likewise carefully behind him. Then the driver leisurely made a start, only, however, to stop suddenly again, when the door of the vehicle was burst open and a gentleman jumped out and rapped loudly at the gate. He turned his face hurriedly around as he did so, hiding, it seemed to me, meanwhile, behind the wall, so as not to be seen when it opened. Judge of my astonishment when I recognized in this gentleman the one who had but a few moments before entered the carriage dressed in white, for he was now in garments of the hue of Erebus. While I wondered at this strange metamorphosis, the door in the wall opened, and the gentleman, now attired in black, after giving some hasty instructions to the servant, sprang once more into the carriage and was driven rapidly toward London. My curiosity was strangely excited, and as I stood at the door before mounting my horse, I asked the landlord who and what were the people who occupied the opposite dwelling.
"Well, sir," he replied, looking curiously at the dead wall over against him, "they've been there now a matter of 6 months, I dare say, and you've seen as much of them as I have."